Revelations 3:20 and 21. I want to be talking about open your own doors tonight. And I've been reading through the book of Revelation. I haven't got through it yet this year. I almost got through it the first time around. And there's some interesting stuff that happens in that book.
When you figure it all out, I want to hear it.
Oh, I don't know.
I bet I've read that 10 times and it's still...
Yeah. It's not written in our normal way of things written. That's all I know. And
because they start here, and then they jump here, and then they come back.
And it's a certain type of writing, too. It's a... more like a theatric type of writing, more of a, not scare tactic, but more apocalyptic type of writing that they wrote in that era as well. In the,
I know Johann describes it most like.
Yeah.
That's me right there.
Yep. And so,
I understand it.
But this is the ultimate question. The book of Revelation is for one thing, to reveal who Jesus is. That's the main purpose. That's what John writes out. He starts off and says, this is a book about revealing who Jesus is. If we can stay on that main point, because he goes, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to take place. It's a revelation of who Jesus is and what's going to happen. And so if we can remember that it's about Jesus, we don't have to fear. So, here we go. Revelation 3:20 through 21. It says here, it goes, look, Jesus is speaking, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit, understand what he is saying to the churches. Sometimes people say, well, wait until Jesus opens the door to go through it. What if Jesus is telling you to open that door instead? Because here he is, he's knocking on the door. Who's going to let him in? He's over here knocking on the door, and he goes, knock, 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 knock. And we're over here being busy with other things, just being, what's that word I'm trying to think of? Being, these all other interests, being distracted, that's the word. That we're over here being distracted, and Jesus is over here knocking on the door and saying, will you let me in to every area where I want to be.
There used to be a picture we had in the church. We brought it from, I don't remember where, and I had it hanging in our old church.
Ah.
Of the door handle off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I wish I knew what they did.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was gone before I even got there.
Yeah, it was.
There's no, like she said, there's no handle, no place for the door handle.
Yeah.
On the door. So, yes, you have to open it. He's asking for permission.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That God will always ask for permission to enter in to that scene. What if there is a door handle on the... I mean, we say, well, there isn't one. But what if there was one, but he still wants you to open the door to it?
He's being polite.
Yes.
If I knock on your door, I don't walk in.
No. Even though there's a door handle.
Yep.
Which is a good thing. And the thing about it, so Jesus is saying, knockety, knock, 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 let me come in. And so many times we're like, no thank you, Jesus. But there's also another door that we hear no knocking. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and following. It's talking about living. And it goes here, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4. With the Lord's authority, I say this. live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds full of darkness, they wandered far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lust, pleasure, and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20. But that isn't what you've learned about Christ, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him. Throw off the old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust, deceit. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts, attitudes, put on a new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. There's a door. For you are a thief. No, if you are a thief, stop, quit stealing. Another open door. Instead, use your hands to good works, then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Another open door. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that the words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. The way you live is another open door. Remember, He has identified you as His own, granting that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And so what we do and what we say will open a door to let Satan come walking right in. He doesn't knock, he doesn't ask for permission, and he doesn't really care. Because it says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So we, as believers, even as Paul's writing this, he goes, throw off things that used to hinder us, walk a new way, walk a new life, because, and so you can be like Christ. In other words, if I used to steal, I get to stop. And it says, put your hands to good work. If I used to do this, Paul saying, stop doing the things that used to open the door to all bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness. Close those doors and start forgiving. Stop being, anger, it says, do not be angry and do not sin. So anger in itself isn't a sin, but what you do with it, if you hang on to that anger, it becomes a foothold. And all these things can become a foothold to the devil. And the thing about it, he doesn't need a wide open door. He doesn't need a door that wide open. All he needs is a little sliver. And guess what? You open that door. He doesn't open the door. The devil doesn't make you do anything that your flesh doesn't want to do. And the thing about it is that our flesh would love to do a lot of rotten things. And that's the reason why he says, throw off the old way of life. And when we start throwing it off, the devil absolutely hates it, because guess what? We're locking the door. We're shutting the door. We're shutting the door. And so if we continue to live like we did before we got saved, we're going to continue to go down the same path that we were going down. And that's the reason why it's really important to shut that door to deceit, dishonesty, all these things. And sometimes you literally, and Jesus even talks about this. He goes, if your right hand causes you to sin, what do you do? You cut it off. So if you go into the bar and you say, hey man, they got some good food, Which most bars do for some reason. They got the best cooks in town. But when you're there, you have adult beverages and you don't remember what happened the rest of the night. Cut that out. Literally cut that off and get rid of it. Or if you keep driving a certain route and there's a donut shop or an ice cream shop that sells some good ice cream in Cassin, don't take that route any longer. Cut it off. Take a different route. Well, it's going to be takes me 3 minutes longer. Wouldn't it be rather be better to drive 3 minutes longer than keep choosing to do the wrong thing? And so it's a choice. Opening a door. Sin has always been a choice. You don't accidentally sin. I mean, it's so interesting because I've heard enough people say, well, I accidentally kissed this person, or I accidentally slept with this person, or I'm like, you don't accidentally do that? You're usually invited in by being nice. I mean, I'm not saying don't be nice, but by being overly nice to the opposite sex, or maybe even the same, and you open that door of flirtation to one another, and next you know you're just having a meal with one another, and next you know you're all, it's a progression, it's a choice. And like we heard a couple weeks ago, sin is a choice, but yet when we make that choice, it takes us farther and gives us more punishment than we know. Sin will always take you farther down the road than you want to go. It gets you hooked up with things that you don't want to be hooked up with. And so, sin is always a choice. And sometimes you stop and you're like, how in the world did I get into this situation? Because you chose it. And sometimes, people will say, well, I was just minding my own business. But yet, there's choices they led up to, and all of a sudden, something overcomes them. They don't remember everything. I'm telling you right now, if you pull back, and as a road that has a guardrail, if you hit that guardrail, you're not going off the edge. The guardrail is there to keep you safe. But all of a sudden, you remove these guardrails, you're like, well, it's not that big of a deal. That's the first sign that you're heading in the wrong direction. When you, well, you know, for me, it's like, well, you know, that little sugar isn't that big of a deal. That one little bite leads to another. You got, Jerry might not remember this because it was before his time. You guys remember the potato chip commercial? Just can't have one along that line. Now they've proven there's a reason why you just can't have one. But the thing about it is that sometimes, I'll just have one potato chip. I'll have two potato chips. I'll have the half a bag of potato chips. One potato chip in itself isn't bad, but if it leads to a half a bag in 10 minutes, it's not going to be the best choice. I don't care how much you exercise, how skinny you are, how young you are. So, I just want to encourage us today with that we want to be careful of what doors that we're opening. Are we so distracted that we forget to open Jesus' door, the front door, while we're over here opening the back door to the things that we should never let in? And what we do in the private will always come out public. Every single time. And a lot of times, God doesn't want to expose things. He'll knock on the door, say, hey, I don't like what you're doing here. I don't like what you're doing here. I don't like what you're doing here. And what he's trying to do is get us to stop and pull back and say, Father, forgive me. And then it says in James that we confess our sins to one another. Hey, there's something about confessing to one another. It's such a beautiful thing. But the devil will come in through that open door and say,
you don't have to worry about that. No one will ever know.
How many people have we found out that, you know, it comes out maybe not right away, but a little bit later, they weren't living the way they said they're going to live? And you're like, I know there's something wrong, off. And so I just want to encourage that. And so that's all I have for us tonight.